Brother Don Cannell has the privilege of welcoming each and every one of you to our little convention here in Seattle. May the Lord bless you. Good night.
Thank you, Brother David, and thank you, Brother Freeman. I can say good afternoon to begin with. I'd like to draw your attention to the front cover of our programs, something we see on nearly every program of every convention that we go to. A welcome awaits all believers in the ransom and those who love God and the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Or we might say, all believers in the ransom and those who love God and the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, may expect a welcome. Not just the words that are going to be referred to at this particular time, but we welcome you to what we expect to be a very sound platform. You're welcome to a special fellowship of your brethren. You're also welcome to a situation of mutual edification, and I'm sure many other things, but we believe those are especially included. Now, in thinking about using a few words of welcome, I thought, why don't I use a poem to begin with? And so I looked through my collection of poems, and I come up with one that I thought was fitting to the occasion, and it goes like this. It's April the 7th, the year 95, and our convention begins now that you have arrived, and we trust that each one is here to receive a spiritual feast from now till we leave. We thank each of our speakers who've come a long way, and we are looking forward to what they will say. We give double honor for their labors of love, and we trust that their words will be blessed from above. And we're expecting to hear from the biblical pages the old, old story, God's plan of the ages. Now, we boast not of numbers. We know we are few, but we have that old story, and we need nothing new. We have no stained glass windows, no plush pews, but we have something of value. We have the good news. We are all in Christ, a new creation, and we've come to this place for edification. Now, if these teachings be in us, if indeed they abound, we'll hear that well done and receive of that crown. And having heard from his word the things we hold dear, we can say 3 days hence, it was good to be here. And while we are here, we can assist one another, whether to a dear sister or a dear brother. And you know, only to receive is one way to live, but as it is written, 'tis more blessed to give. So at this convention, we can all have a part, and we'll see its fruition as it comes from the heart. We catch our Lord's words, and we're able to see, what you do for my brethren, you do unto me. The Lord will be with us, his Spirit to bless, and with us, and with such a promise, we're sure of success. So may our time here be a special event of quality time considered well spent. And each of us here in the class of Seattle trust this quality time will help you in your battle. So as an ecclesia, we welcome each one in the name of the Father and his blessed Son. Well, we'd like to continue our welcome with the use of Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. You remember the apostle says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And we think that one of our special causes for rejoicing is that April 1995 finds us still in the race that has been set before us, as the apostle suggests. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So at this convention, we trust that we will get before our minds more clearly than ever the fact that our Heavenly Father has set before us a great prize, a valuable prize indeed. One so valuable that in our present condition, as we consider that prize, it really staggers the mind. We're not really able to comprehend it in the true sense of that word. We know not what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, now, there are certain conditions upon which we may be winners of this grand prize, And I believe that in proportion as we have these conditions in our minds, as we consider them, we're going to be diligent and we're going to endeavor to more earnestly and patiently run the race for the prize. So as we listen to the various discourses, the testimonies, the hymns, the prayers, may it help us to remember that no one will win this prize in a half-hearted manner. The Apostle John so indicates. He refers to the prize as a reward. And he tells us in 2 John, the 8th verse, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought or which we have gained, but that we receive a full reward." Well, I think we all recognize that the present is the time for the securing of this full reward, the time for gaining the prize. And as we often say, there's no time like the present. Now, I think that no doubt each of us from time to time wonder how long the old order can continue on. What conditions will prevail in this tottering world before the last member of the little flock enters into the kingdom arrangement the other side of the veil? Well, we simply don't have the answer to that question. But we do know that very quickly, conditions in our immediate surroundings could change. And indeed, they are changing. But we believe also that the present measure of law and order is really a very thin veneer. And again, the veneer becomes thinner every day. So how meaningful then the admonition that we have in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and we're using the Diaglot translation. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting to it, and so much the more as you see the day drawing on." And so the nearer we come to the great day of the Lord, that is the time when the church will be glorified with her Lord and head, the more precious are the opportunities for Christian fellowship. And the time in which we live, that is chronologically where we are in the stream of time, and the conditions that we see about us, and all the outward evidences tell us that this Christian fellowship becomes more important to us on a daily basis. Really, a truth convention is a stimulus to the new creature. And we trust that the 3 days of this convention will be just that, that it will stimulate each one of us to greater zeal and greater faithfulness. And remember that we frequently use the expression that on the other side of the veil, that will be that great convention. I'm sure you've heard that expression. And of course, that will be the final gathering together of the Lord's people. It will be the ultimate, shall we say, in general conventions. As we read in a convention report from years back, Brother Russell says, "The little conventions we are having at the present time are merely small foretastes of the riches of God's grace and the wonderful blessing he has in store at the great convention beyond the veil." You know, I expect it would be superfluous to ask the question, do you desire to be at that convention? We believe it is the hope, it is the desire, and it is the aim of every one of us. So again, we suggest that our participation with our Lord in the glories of the kingdom is dependent upon our faithfulness at the present time. And no wonder the apostle enjoins upon us to gird up the loins of our mind. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Now, according to the original meaning of this expression, gird, we are to gird afresh, something that is done repeatedly. And so, how fitting to our present position before the Lord that we should do these things. And how fitting also to ask ourselves, why am I here? And perhaps each one would answer a little bit differently. But at least one good reason for being here is to gird up our minds, because the mind is the new creature. So we are here to strengthen our position as new creatures. We have our part to do in making our calling and election sure. The Lord does his part, we do our part. Just as the poet seems to express it. The poet says, "Our lives are songs, God writes the words, and we set them to music at pleasure. And the song grows glad or sweet or sad as we choose to fashion the measure. We must write the music, whatever the song, whatever its rhyme or its meter, And if it is sad, we can make it glad. And if it is sweet, make it sweeter. It's an individual thing, isn't it? I think we can each do that. Now, I have before me the Rotherham rendering of Psalm 133, verse 1. It's a very beautiful translation, very fitting, we believe, to this occasion. It reads, "Lo, how good and how delightful for brethren to dwell together, even as one." And so with this, we do count it a privilege to welcome you here in the name of our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, and on behalf of all the brethren of the North Seattle Bible Students. Each of you are filling your place in the body. You are all known and loved of the Lord. We're glad to have you with us. And we hope that in your attendance at this convention, it will make you stronger in the faith, and that your determination to press on will eventually cause you to hear the Master's words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Enter thou into that great convention that we're all looking forward to." May the Lord bless us in these 3 days. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Don. What a privilege and an honor to gather together with those of like precious faith, to gather around the carcass, to consider the meat and due season as given to us through that wise and faithful servant. And we look forward to a fulfilling and rich weekend together.